perfect segue right into Hebrews 11. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still and with all who will what? Trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we what? Trust and obey. Oh, man. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is confidence in what we cannot see, verse 1 teaches us. Faith is confidence in what we cannot see. And what it is that we cannot see, we learn in verse 3, is the reality of God's Word. That God's Word is more true, God's Word is more real than anything that we can see with our eyes or think with our mind or feel with our emotions. God's Word is more real and more true than anything that we see around us. Now, when we get to verse 4, what God's Word gives us is He gives us an example, a real life historical example of a life that was lived confident in what he could not see. But I want you to understand what's happening here. That this is not just an example that's intended to encourage us to trust the Lord and His Word. This is not just an example that's meant to motivate us to trust and obey. But this example of Abel, and then the example of Enoch, and then later the example of Abraham and Sarah and Moses, every example that we get here, starting with Abel, is an example that's intended to teach. There is an element, there are principles about faith, about trusting the Lord and His Word, even though we cannot see, that we need to understand here in Abel's life, that the Lord reveals to us in Abel's life, and that the Lord reveals to us about Enoch. And so we need to realize what's happening here is that the Lord is teaching us about what it means to trust Him. This is what it means to have faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Abel. We're told that Abel had faith. Abel was confident in what he could not see. Abel trusted the Lord and His Word, though he did not understand all that he heard. And we're not exactly told what it was that Abel heard God say or what it was that Abel did that made his sacrifice better. But what we are told is that Abel trusted what he could not see, and that resulted in Abel's sacrifice being better. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. So the result of Abel's confidence in what he could not see was that Abel pleased the Lord with what he did. Stop right there for just a second. The result of Abel's confidence in God and His Word was that Abel pleased the Lord with what he did. There's more. It says that through which, because he pleased the Lord with what he did, he offered a better sacrifice, a good sacrifice. Because he did that, he obtained, or he was given, he received a testimony that he was righteous. That's an interesting phrase here, but I want you to understand what's happening. Because Abel was confident in God's word, even though he could not see it or explain it or understand it, because he simply trusted and obeyed. What he did pleased the Lord, and as Abel pleased the Lord, God himself gave to Abel a testimony. He gave Abel evidence that Abel was righteous. That God saw righteous is how God viewed Abel. God put on Abel's life an element where you could look and there was evidence. You could see that Abel was different. And you could see there was evidence that Abel was righteous. Abel's relationship with the Lord was right. Now, we don't know if you were to go back to Genesis chapter 4 and watch this scene. I can't tell you from the passage in Genesis 4 what that looked like in Abel's life. What did it mean that God gave him a testimony that he was righteous? The passage in Genesis 4 simply says God had regard for Abel's offering, but God had no regard for Cain's offering, and that was painfully obvious to both of them standing there. There was a visible element to Abel's offering and to Abel's life that pleased the Lord, and Cain did not. And you could see the difference with your eyes. Now, I don't know if that meant that Abel's offering went up, his smoke went up, Cain's smoke stayed low to the ground. Somebody has surmised that. We don't know. But you know what? What happened, because Abel trusted the Lord and his word, because he was confident in what he could not see, what he did pleased the Lord, and God put on his life a mark, evidence. God gave him a testimony that everyone around him could see, that guy is righteous. And there's more. It says that through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now, this event happened about 6,000 years ago. And you know who we're still talking about? Abel. We're still talking about him. God used Abel's life because he trusted in what he could not see. God used his life to teach others what it means to trust the Lord and his word. You see what's happening here? What happens when we take God at his word and we trust that God's word is more real and more true than what I can see and what I can think and reason, and even more true than what I feel? When we take God's word as true and we trust it, then you know what happens when we do that? When we will do that, then what we do will be pleasing to the Lord. It will be what God wants us to do. And God will give us a testimony. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to understand, this is what God is teaching us here. When you trust the Lord, the results of that, of trusting the Lord and His Word, the result of that is to be pleasing to the Lord and to obtain a testimony that there is righteousness in here, that I have been pleasing to the Lord. And then there is usefulness to the Lord, that God is able to use our lives to encourage others to trust Him and His Word. I want you to think about that for just a second. I want, and I hope this is your desire. I'm just going to tell you, Chad Brady, I hope this is your desire. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior and you look back at what He has done for you, how he left his throne in glory and came to be born in a manger that we celebrated at Christmas, and he grew, lived a perfect life and died on a cross in my place and rose from the dead so that I could have new life, and that, and now lives to be my shepherd and to guide and to produce in me that which is pleasing to him. When I think about that, I want to do what pleases the Lord, whatever that might mean. I want to do what pleases him. And more than that is that, you know what? I want my life. I want there to be evidence about my life. I want it to be evident that my life is pleasing the Lord. I want my life to look different. I want it to be visibly evident that I am pleasing the Lord. I want it to look different than if I wasn't. I want there to be evidence about my life that the Holy Spirit lives here. And I want God to use my life. I want him to use me in the lives of people around me, man, with all of my heart. My greatest desire is that the Lord would use my life to point other people to him so that other people can know him as well. I hope that's your desire as well. And I believe it is. I believe many of you, that is your heart's desire, because I know you. How do we do that? You know, we could come up with all kinds of strategies and all kinds of plans, and there are three steps. If you want to write a book, there are three steps to being useful to the Lord. All that's garbage. How does your life become pleasing to the Lord? What makes your life pleasing to the Lord, evidently righteous and useful to him? And you know what it is? It's very simple. It's one thing. It's not brains. It's not education. It's not skill. It's simply trusting what you cannot see. Taking the Lord and his word, regardless of whether I understand it, regardless of whether that's what my circumstances lead me to think is the best path, but to just take the Lord and his word as more real and more true than what I see. And the result of that will be, I will be pleasing to the Lord. I will be given the evidence that there is righteousness here. I will be useful to the Lord, because that's the result of faith. That's what faith does. Let's keep going. There's more. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and was not found because God took him up. I want to see that videotape when I get there. I want to see the video of that one. The Lord has got it. I'm sure of it. I want to see that video. Somebody said one time that the Lord and Enoch went out for a walk, and Enoch was just spending time with the Lord, walking down the road, and the Lord said, "Hey, Enoch, we're closer to my house than yours. Let's just go on up there for dinner." And I think it's something like that. But watch what it says. He was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to the Lord. Enoch, now watch this, Enoch. Enoch trusted by faith. This is faith in Enoch's life. That means that Enoch was confident in what he could not see. Enoch took God and his word as more real than what he could see or think or feel. And because of that, watch this, Enoch was given a testimony. He obtained a witness. It's the same word in the Greek, by the way, as in verse 4. Enoch was given the testimony that he was pleasing to the Lord. It was evident. It was obvious to everybody who knew Enoch. You could look at his life and it was visibly evident that man was pleasing to the Lord. And so that's actually the same piece of instruction that we get as we saw in Abel's life, that the result of our faith in the Lord and His Word is to be pleasing to Him and to be given evidence for our life to be visibly, evidently pleasing to the Lord. But Enoch's life adds one piece to that. You know what Enoch's life adds one piece to? He never died. He never died. That by faith, Enoch never saw death. Isn't that interesting? Well, you say, well, how does that apply to my life? Oh, man. Really? Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he does die. How about that? If we are confident in what we cannot see, if our trust is in the Lord and His Word, do you know what is true of us? We'll never die. I want you to see what's happening here. I want you to see that the Lord is describing to us things that we know that He offers and we desire. We desire to be pleasing to Him. We desire for it to be evident in our lives that our lives are His and that He's at work in my life and that He's changing me and molding me. We want it to be evident that our lives are pleasing to Him. We want to be useful to Him. We want to live with Him forever. These are things we know the Lord offers. And this verse is telling us all of that is the result of confidence in what we cannot see. All of that is the result of trust in the Lord and His Word. Of trust that God's Word is more true than what we see or think or feel. How can it be that Chad Brady, who is by nature a sinner, I was born in sin, like David. My mother conceived me in sin. There was sin in my heart from the very beginning. Like the Apostle Paul, I was hostile toward God. All of us, that's true for all of us. How can it be that me, who is a sinner by nature, who hostile toward the Lord, how can I ever hope to stand before the Lord face to face and be welcomed in? Enter into the joy of your reward. What? I have to believe that God, because He loved me, sent His Son to do what I could not do for myself, to die for my sins, and that's going to be enough, that the blood of Jesus will be enough when I get there and God recounts all of the list of things that Chad Brady has done and thought and said, and it's bad, and it is for you too. I have to trust that the blood of Jesus is going to be enough. I don't understand that. I don't know how God can do that. But He says it's true. And so I trust. I trust that His Word is more real than what I can see or think or feel. And if we can trust the Lord and His Word and what He says about my sin, then what else would we not trust Him for? If His Word teaches us things about this life, do we not trust in the same way? We do. We should. Now, we get to verse 6. And he breaks from his use of historical illustrations, and now he gives us a principle. And he says, not just what the result of faith is, But he now describes the requirement for faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot be pleasing to the Lord without trusting God's word more than what you see and think and feel. It is impossible. You cannot do what pleases the Lord unless we will take God's word as truer and more real than what we can see. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Why? Why is that true? Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If we are going to have a relationship with the Lord at all, if we are going to do that which pleases him at all, then we must believe two very important things. Number one, that he is. We have to believe that he is in existence, that he exists. And you know what? You can't see him. And there is a measure of faith in just believing that God is and that he exists, that God himself is more real than what I can see. I cannot see the Lord. I cannot prove his existence. You can do all of the apologetics that you want to do, and I'm not saying apologetics aren't profitable. There is some profit in apologetics, but you cannot prove logically that there is a God. I can give you lots of evidence, but we must trust, believe that he is. He is more real than what I can see. So I have to believe that he's there. That alone involves confidence in what I can't see. But it's more than that. That I have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now I want you to stop for a second and let's look at this phrase. This is a very important phrase. God is, I have to trust that God is a rewarder. You know what a reward is? I want you to think about a reward for just a minute. Listen to that word, reward. Reward is a benefit that you offer to those who do what you want them to do. Is that not true? A benefit to those who do what you are encouraging or instructing them to do. At the Good News Club, which we're going to start in just a few weeks. We have a bag at each one of our tables. We have a box with our supplies, and in that box is a bag of dumb suckers. It's a fact. And we say to our kids every week, hey, listen, we're about to go, and we're going to sing, and we're going to listen to our Bible story, and then we're going to have some discussion time. And listen, if you will sing loud and listen and pay attention during the Bible story, then you will get a dumb sucker at the end when we're done. That's a reward, isn't it? There's something good coming to encourage what I'm instructing you to do. The Lord is a rewarder, that he has good things in store for those who are following his instruction. What is it that God rewards? Those who seek him. We have to believe that God rewards, that God has something good in store for those who seek him. Now, what does it mean to seek the Lord? That's a phrase that's kind of a Christianese phrase that we talk about a lot. I want to give you a very simple illustration of what it looks like to seek the Lord. If I wake up tomorrow morning and I on my first swallow, as soon as I wake up, it feels like razor blades going down my throat. And I can't hardly swallow because it is so painful to swallow. And I have this splitting headache, and my fever is about 101.5. I know. Something's wrong. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seek medical attention. And so I don't wait for the doctor to call me because he ain't going to call me. You know what I have to do? I've got to go to the doctor's office. I have to seek him out because I want to hear what he has to say. He's got some tests that he's going to run that'll tell me what's wrong, and he's going to give me some instruction, probably even give me a prescription for some medicine. And so I'm going to seek the doctor, meaning I'm going to intentionally seek out his observations and his instruction. And then you know what? As I seek the doctor, he can tell me. He said, "Mr. Brady, you have strep throat. You need to take this nasty-looking pink stuff called amoxicillin, which my children hate. And you need to take it 3 times a day for 7 days. And so I've sought him out, and he's given me instruction. Now I have to find out if I trust him, right? Because I could go home and say, rip that prescription up and say, psh, it's a bunch of junk. I'll be all right. I could do that. That would be foolish. But I could do that. But if I hear him and trust him, I can't see any germs in my body. What are you talking about? I can't see any of that. I feel it, but I look just the same as I did yesterday. But I trust what he's telling me, that what he is telling me about strep throat is more real than what I can see, and this pink stuff is actually going to help me. I drink it, and it hurts to swallow. That's what it means to seek the doctor, and it is the same with the Lord. He is a rewarder. He has good things stored up for those who will seek him. So then I get up in the morning. My throat's not sore this morning. I feel great this morning. But you know what it is? I know that I need the Lord today. And so I get up in the morning and I am going to seek the Lord. I want the Lord to teach me. I want to know Him. I want to know His wisdom because I don't have any of my own. I'm seeking the Lord. That's what it means to seek the Lord. It's very simple. That we seek Him out, that we go to Him, we go looking for the Lord. Where we find Him is in His Word. My dad, you know what kind of relationship I would have with my dad if I never called him? If I always waited for my dad to call me? That would be sad. I would hurt my dad. But you know what? My dad and I have a close relationship. So about 3 or 4 times a week, I seek Him. I call Him on the phone. Because I want to hear His voice. I want to know what He thinks. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We got to believe that. If we are going to be pleasing to the Lord at all, then the path to be pleasing to the Lord is to believe that He is, though I can't see that. And to believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. How is spending time and meditating in His Word and praying to somebody that I can't see, how is that going to help the project that I have going on at work today? I don't see the connection there. But there is one. It's more real than what you can see. Let me give you an example. Maybe it is that the Lord has in store for you in this year, 2020. It's January. It's the beginning of the year. Maybe it is that the Lord has some real challenges for you in January or in 2020. You might even call those trials. You might even describe it as suffering in 2020. And so because of the circumstances that you are facing that are painful, or difficult, or hard, then there is a path that I can see that leads me to respond to these painful and hard situations. And there is, each one of us has a different personality, and we kind of have, there is a way about us that would lead us to respond a certain way to the circumstances that we face, right? But you know what? If we did as seems logical to us, we would not be pleasing to the Lord. But what we do, we want to be pleasing to the Lord. And we hear Him say that the path to pleasing Him is to trust Him and His Word. And so, it's hard. It's hard right now. Life is hard right now. And so, okay, God, I'm going to seek You. God, I want You to teach me what You say about trials and hard times. God, I want You to show me what You think about trials and hard times. I'm seeking the Lord. And so I find myself in James chapter 1. And you know what he says of all things? He says, consider it all joy when you suffer various trials and temptations. That doesn't seem very smart to me. Doesn't look like that's a good idea. But then he goes on and he says, listen, he says, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And the end result of endurance is that you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God, you mean to tell me, God, you want me to actually be glad that I'm suffering through these things because you are actually using these hard times and these trials, things that I don't like, you're using that to actually produce something really good in my life? God, you want me to believe that? Chad, yes, I do. Chad, my word is more real than what you can see. My word is more true than what you can think or reason. Okay, God. Okay. I will trust that your word is more real. Because, God, I don't see that. James chapter 1. You know what he says later in the chapter? He's gone through and he's told us a few other things about trials and temptations and his hand at work in those trials and temptations. And then he comes back and he says this. It's a famous quote. A lot of Christians quote this. He says, Chad, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what he means by that? Actually, within the context, he's really not talking about our interaction with other people. He's talking about His Word. He says, Chad, be quick to hear what I'm telling you is going on. Be quick to hear My instruction about how you should respond in these circumstances. Chad, don't just start talking about what you think and what you want to happen and what you want to do. Chad, listen to me. And don't get angry, because that's going to be your natural reaction. Chad, listen to what I'm telling you about your trials and your sufferings and your hard times. And here's what happens. You know what? Right there. If we will, I mean, this is just one chapter, James chapter 1, and we stop and we say, okay, Lord, I believe You. I trust that You have purpose and that You have a plan and that You are actually using this to produce good things in my life, things that are pleasing to You. So God, I'll thank You for it. I'll thank You for using this. God, I'll take joy even in the trial. You know what the result of that will be? Hebrews chapter 11. The result will be we will be pleasing to Him. That this trial, whatever it is that we are walking through at this point, we'll do it in a way that pleases Him. You can't do it otherwise. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You respond on your own. You respond in a way that makes sense to you according to what you see and think and feel, and you will never be pleasing to Him. But you take Him at His Word and trust that what His Word says is more true than what I can see, and say, okay, God, I'll trust that. I'll respond this way. And you will be pleasing to Him. You'll do what He would have you to do. And then you know what will happen? though everybody around you is watching these circumstances, and then they see joy, and they say, wait a minute, there's something different about you. I never met anybody that had that kind of joy in the middle of that kind of circumstance. And you know what will have happened? Not only will you be pleasing to the Lord, but you know what? He will give you a testimony that you have been pleasing to the Lord. There is a mark. There's a difference that He will give to us, that there's righteousness here. This is not just Chad Brady. This is God's hand at work in my life, and it's visibly evident. And then you know what He'll do? And then He'll use your life to encourage other people to trust the Lord like that as well. Isn't that exactly what He described in Abel and Enoch's life? Sure is. And that is exactly what He wants to do in our lives. If we will trust that His Word and He are more real than what I can see, if I will trust His Word and not what I see and think and feel, but that His Word is real and true. God, I thank You for writing this down. God, how would we know this? God, we wouldn't. We just wouldn't know this if You hadn't written this down. But God, I praise You for writing it down for us and for preserving it for us. God, help us to trust You and Your Word and the reality of what You have promised and what You have told us. God, I pray that You would cut the ties that we have to all these things that we see and think and feel. Give us victory as we trust You. God, we long to be individuals and a church who are visibly, evidently pleasing to You, where Your righteousness dwells. God, thank You that it is because Your Son that we can know You like this at all. In His name we pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and